Labor is proposing to name and shame organisations that pay men more than women, as new reports show women took a bigger economic hit from the pandemic. Three reports from the Centre for the Future Work, the Grattan Institute and the Australian Council of Trade Unions found more women lost their jobs and are returning to less secure work. The Grattan Institute's report found the exclusion of casuals from the JobKeeper scheme also disproportionately affected women. Michelle O'Neill is the National President of the ACTU and joins us. Michelle, welcome.
Thanks, Patricia.
You've welcomed Labor's naming proposal to name and shame employers who pay men more. How would it help and how would it work?
Well, it's one part of a range of things that need to be done to tackle this 13.4% gender pay gap that we've got, which is really outrageous if you think about it in 2021. And if you look at Australia, back in 2006, we were rated 15th in the world on gender pay inequality. Now we're 44th. So we're slipping even further behind. And naming and shaming is one element of it. What that does is leave companies with nowhere to hide if they're not addressing pay inequality, making sure that they take practical steps rather than just put up a meme on International Women's Day. So we've got to see change that is systematic rather than tokenistic. And I think that's an important part of it. But it's not the only thing that needs to be done. So some of the other announcements they made are really critically important too, because if you look at the gender pay gap, it's things like women's work being undervalued that has led to the problem that we've got, and having the capacity to have proper equal pay cases where the Fair Work Commission doesn't have to compare a woman's job with a man's job, which is pretty much what happens now when you try and win an equal pay case, is a fundamental change that we need.
On one estimate, women are a century off achieving economic parity with men. What would help beyond things like Labor's naming and shaming scheme?
Well, I think having that power for the Fair Work Commission to look at revaluing women's work that is traditionally done by women. So, you know, we've talked a lot during 2020 and 2021 about aged care. It's such a classic example, isn't it, where the vast majority of workers are women doing some of the most important work, skilled work, hard work that we could ever do, and something that we value because it's looking after the people that we love in the last years of their life, but we pay atrociously. And so re-evaluating how important that work is and consequently how it should be paid and the sort of secure jobs we need is one of the elements that this announcement talks about the Fair Work Commission having power to do. The other example, of course, is early childhood educators at the other end of life, where it's our, you know, precious babies and young children who are having that critical care at a time when their brains are developing faster than any other time in your life, when you learn to socialise. And again, full of women, 97% of workers as early childhood educators are women. Low paid, insecure jobs, not properly valued for this skill. And I think that parts of the announcement that will really make a huge difference. The other thing, Patricia, is we've just got a fundamental problem with high rates of insecure work, and it's women mainly in insecure jobs, casual jobs, low-paid jobs. So we've also got to address that. And of course, we're concerned at the moment. The federal government is actually putting forward legislation that's going to make that worse with the IR bill.
Does the gender segregation in Australian industries speak to a deeper sexism in the country that we don't talk about as much?
Yes.
And do you believe the Industrial Relations Omnibus Bill will stall now that the Industrial Relations Minister Christian Porter is on leave?
Well, it's bad law. And I mean, Christian Porter has been the person that has had carriage of it throughout its genesis last year and then to the bill they introduced. I think that they should withdraw this legislation. I don't think they should attempt to get it through next week. It doesn't do what it should do. It actually will make things worse in terms of insecure work. It'll open up the cutting of people's take-home pay and reduce workers' rights, the very opposite to what we need at the moment. So regardless of whether the Attorney General and the Minister are there or not, this is a law that should be withdrawn.
Do you think the cloud that hangs over Industrial Relations Minister Christian Porter in terms of this rape allegation that he denies damages his effectiveness as a minister?
I think that there should be an independent investigation into the rape allegation and that the minister should stand aside while that investigation's taking place.
Why is an investigation necessary?
Because this is a very serious allegation and it's one that goes to the heart of whether someone is the right person to hold one of the most powerful positions in the land. And this is not only the chief lawmaker, this is someone who has responsibility for workers' rights and workers' health and safety. And I think it would be in the best interest for the minister, if he is insisting on his innocence, to have an opportunity to have an investigation. But also, it's a really important principle that when there are allegations of this sort, that we have in place systems where they can be independently investigated. This happens to workers all over the country every day. This is not just an unusual call here. Many union members, many workers are subject to these sort of investigations because of complaints. It's common for people to be stood down while those investigations take place. The same thing should happen for the minister.
Thank you so much for joining us, Michelle.
Thanks very much, Patricia.
And Michelle O'Neill is the national president of the ACTU. This is RN Drive.